Good morning. It is Sunday, the 7th of July, 2013. In the Lucy Coleman studio this morning, on Sunday morning, a very nice overcast Sunday morning. PJ, your internet pastor, I'm going to talk about listening to God. You know, I'm encouraging a young lad that goes to one of the major colleges in our city here, very athletically inclined, very sharp mind. But not as disciplined as it ought to be if he's going to go ahead. I've been spending a little time with him and securing a place where he can be sure that he can come and get a square meal, eat on a regular basis, go to school, work that part-time job, do what he's doing, giving him that encouragement. You guys really don't know how serious it is out there. There are so many people that are striving to be successful and maybe didn't get the best chance in life to do that, didn't start off right, didn't do things right. And they have difficulty hearing about what's right. What I like about the young man is that this morning I understand through conversing with him that he's supposed to be going to church with his parents. Now, you may say, well, John, I know you're not encouraged about that because you don't attend church yourself. Well, I don't have to figure out how I'm supposed to live and what I'm supposed to do. I've been the church, unfortunately, for many people for many, many, many years. But it's going to be interesting because I'm going to continue with my line of discipline. But how do you get this young generation to listen to God, who seem to not even listen to anyone but themselves? How do you deal with the generation? And, you know, I was talking with another young man, and I was sharing with him the, how can I say it? The control, the discipline, behavior that we lived under years ago. But I am fully aware that people in this society, people in this culture today, don't do that. Now, how do I get the wisdom over to the youngsters? How do I get them to listen to God? I hope that this Sunday thing that I did so many years ago will assist us in answering that question. So let's enter into the sanctuary. Just a handful of people were meeting to hear me speak on a Sunday night about how to listen to God. And I'll be back to talk with you after this. And then we'll see if we've learned anything. Okay.
Church, tonight we start another nightly Sunday night theme. And this theme this Sunday night is basically the beginning of how to listen to God. Some of you have asked me in private counseling sessions before, how do I know God's will for my life? How do I know that God is talking to me? How do I know that I'm doing the right things from the wrong things? How do I know when he's answering me when I ask those kind of unique, decisive questions? How do I know that making this decision is the right decision and not the wrong one? Can I hear God speak to me? Does he speak with an audible voice? In which ways can I, as a human being, really know that God is speaking to me? So our theme is listening to God. You've got to begin to listen to him. And as you listen to him, he will speak to you, which brings us to our subject tonight. God speaks today. Now, the psalmist here, and this is not a psalm of David, but one of the psalmists, beginning at verse 8 of chapter 81, and it begins like this. Hear, O my people. Now, if God is speaking and tells you to hear, that lets you know that he talks to you. Listen, he says, hear, O my people, and I will testify unto you. O Israel, if you will listen unto me, there shall no strange God be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange God. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not listen to my voice. That's what hearken means. And Israel would none of me. So I gave them up to their own hearts' lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had listened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord would have, oh, I went on down. Okay, let me stop right there, verse 14. Let me stop right there. You see what God kept saying? I'm speaking, but you wouldn't listen. If you listen, you'd hear what I'm saying. My premise tonight is to tell you that God speaks today. He hasn't changed. He speaks just as audibly as he was trying to speak to his children today as he did yesterday. Now, how do I know that God is speaking today? And not only in terms of, well, how do I listen to God? We're going to get into that as the Sunday nights, Lord willing, progress and how you can listen. But the first thing that you've got to ask yourself is, how do I know that God is speaking today? Well, we could stop the sermon right now. Psalm 81. Verses 8 through 14, he says, I've been speaking, I've been speaking, I've been speaking, you haven't been listening. I dare to say that some of us are not listening today when God is speaking just as loud and just as clear. How do I know that God is speaking to me today? Firstly, because he loves me just as much as he loved those in the Old Testament times. Now, God in our text obviously is having a love dialogue with his people. We are Christians, his people. God has that same love dialogue with us. If he spoke with them of old, he speaks with them today. Malachi 3:6-8 says, for I am the Lord and I change not. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, the first part of that verse. I am the Lord, I change not. If I spoke to Moses, I'll speak to you. See, and so does God speak today? If he spoke to the patriarchs of old, he speaks to you today. He hasn't changed. He hasn't died. Secondly, let's look at this. How do I know, Pastor John, that God is speaking to me today? Secondly, because he has a definite and deliberate direction in your lives, just as he did in the lives of the people in the Old Testament. He has a definite and deliberate direction for you. Everything that he does is deliberate. It makes sense. It's for a purpose. God has not made a mistake in your life. When he speaks to you, he speaks very clear. When he speaks to me, it's very clear. Lord help us, if we all gather here Friday night at 7:30, I as a pastor have got to stand here and tell you that he has deliberately spoken to me. And I've got to tell you what he has said. And I expect you to have him speak to you in the same way. I was listening to James Dobson on the radio. I think Brother Carlton, Brother Eddington, and I were speaking about it last night when they dropped by after the Tent Crusade. He was saying that he was driving in his car one day, Dr. Dobson, driving in his car one day, and he said he had something shot in his mind. Prepare yourself for death. Somebody in your family is going to die. He said it was just as clear and plain as the nose on his face. He said he got home and he prayed and he says, Lord, what do you mean somebody in my family is going to die? First, he started doing a catalog. Well, who's sick in my family? Who's living wrong in my family? Dr. Dobson said for 10 years, nobody died. Then after that, his dad had gotten real sick and died. Dr. Dobson came to the conclusion that was not God speaking to me. Now, how do you know when you have these premonitions that is not God speaking with you? Well, I feel moved to do this. You can't go on feelings. You've got to know. God gives certain guarantees. So I said, because he has a definite and deliberate direction for your life. Moses could not lead the nation of Israel out of captivity alone. God had to speak to Moses and direct his life. And God had to tell Moses, you need to go on out in the desert for how many years? 40 years. And learn for 40 years in the desert how to be a shepherd so you can lead some people. You might say, well, gee whiz, God's communication took 40, it took Moses 40 years, then he had to come back. Get this, man, get this. Took him 40 years. He came back when he was 80 years old to lead the children of Israel out of captivity. Took him 40 years to learn his lesson. Joshua, after Moses was dead, even though he was a good soldier, needed guidance and direction. And do you remember what God said to Joshua? As I was with Moses, so I shall be with you. And you see that they crossed over and took Jericho. They blew it when they tried to take Ai because of wicked Achan and his glad rags. But after that, they went on and on and on. God continued to speak through Joshua. Joshua had to listen. And that's why God says, "Hear, O my people, and I'll testify unto you, but you will not hearken unto me," in verse 8. All right. Paul was a man that had to be guided by the precious Holy Spirit. Paul was getting ready to continue to endeavor his missionary journey in Asia, and he had a vision of a man from Mesopotamia who said, "Come down and help us." And we see that Paul changed his whole direction of missionary endeavor because God still spoke 2,000 years ago today. Now he speaks today. He speaks today. But you've got to be in tune with him. And if you continue to come out on Sunday nights, I'm telling you, by the time 6 weeks is up, none of you that come out will have any questions of knowing the direction of the Lord. No questions at all. You know, when they say, "Well, how do you know God is speaking with you?" He gives some absolutes. "How do I know, Pastor John, that God is speaking with me today?" Because he knows that I need the comfort and assurance just as much as the Old Testament believers needed. Here the psalmist needed comfort and assurance. All the patriarchs needed. Everybody that ever spoke about God needed it. Don't you need it too? Since you need comfort and assurance, how do you get it? Through just reading the book? No, God has to speak to your spirit. I am telling you, when I learned about my brother's death, Brother Reese dying, when I learned about that, first thing I did was start praying. I started praying. I said, "Lord, why did you take this young man? Why did you do this? 36, Lord, he hadn't even started living." Then I started saying, "Lord, what about his 3 kids? What about his young wife? What about all this? Lord, why are you doing this?" Now, I'm here to tell you that he speaks to you because you need that comfort and assurance too. "The Lord let me know I know what I'm doing. Are you ready for me to take you?" "Yes, Lord." See, that changed my whole prayer. "Are you ready to go?" "Yes, Lord." "Do you believe I can take care of Lucy and those girls?" "Oh, yes, Lord." "Well, why would you question why I took my brother in tribulation?" Amen. He speaks today. And I said, "Lord, I love you for your will. I'm going to miss my young brother, but I love you for your will." I'm telling you, he's the same God of comfort and assurance as he was in the old. When you look at Israel crossing the Red Sea, he had to speak through Moses to comfort them. Moses said, "Stand still and see the salvation of your God." And he'll do the same thing to you today. He has to tell us, "Shut up, calm down, take it easy, and watch me work." That's what we have to do. The demonic man at the foot of the mountain of transfiguration. The disciples couldn't deal with that man. They couldn't deal with him. In other words, they said, master, we took him to the disciples and they couldn't do anything. Jesus had to calm the man and give them assurance, and he'll calm you too. He'll speak to you if you listen. When you look at those two men that were walking on the road to Emmaus, and we find in the beautiful book of Luke, these men were anxious, all upset. God had to speak to them to calm them down and give assurance that Christ's death on the cross was of great benefit. He can speak to you too, but you've got to calm down. You've got to listen to him. And you notice about those two fellows on Emmaus. Some people think it was, Cleophas and his wife or whatnot. I don't know. Whoever they were. They were very, very anxious, very upset. Their dreams were crushed. All of the anxiety was on the event in Jerusalem. And the Lord spoke to them through an invisible personage of Christ and opened to them the scriptures. And they said, when Christ disappeared, "Did not our hearts burn within us as he spoke to us?" By the way, when God speaks to you, you'll have spiritual heartburn too. You know that it's him. You won't have to wonder who it is. "Well, I wonder if that's God talking to me." Well, just like Dr. Dobson, he wondered for about 2 or 3 days, 10 years after he had forgotten it, his daddy died, but he had come to the conclusion before that fact that couldn't have been God. Because when God speaks, he gives comfort and assurance. I'm telling you. How do I know, John? Fourth and lastly, that God is speaking to me because he wants us to know him. Now, you better listen to me. He wants you to know exactly who he is. This is not hocus pocus, mysterious religious time. "Well, I'll try this one. Christianity is a mysterious religion because you don't know really what God is saying. You can go to God's word, and if it says thou shalt not steal, you know you better not steal. But you will not find in God's word what color should the car be. No. We're going to get a brand new car. Lord, what color do you want it to be? Guess what you're going to get from heaven? Nothing. God's not going to answer those kind of questions. Lord, how much money do you want me to put down on the house? Nothing. You get nothing from the Lord. Nothing. Those are decisions that you make on your own. When I'm talking about God speaking to you, it has to do with spiritual matters for your benefit in terms of his will being done in your life. Any other kind of God speaking to you is just like you getting a premonition. Oh, I think I'm going to have a flat, so I better get a new tire. No. That's not God speaking to you. You know you're riding on nothing but time. That's all you're riding on is time. And eventually it's going to blow out. And the Lord gave you a conscience to do the right thing. I said that you can know that he speaks to you because he wants us to know him. Now, if he ceases to speak to us, there's only going to be one voice that we're going to hear. Now, whose voice is that? The devil. If God ceases to speak to you, you won't listen to the pastor. You won't listen to anything from the word of God. You won't even pay attention to what you just read here. He says in verse 10, for I'm the Lord God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide and I'll fill it, but my people will not listen to my voice. You won't pay any attention to that. You say, well, hey, why should I listen? If they didn't listen, maybe they had something going. Maybe they knew something that I didn't know. Here the psalmist is saying, we are obligated because God is speaking today. So we've got to make sure that we're listening. So what am I talking about? If he ceases to speak to us, there's only one other voice you're going to hear. That's the voice of evil. Man, you can do any cotton-picking thing you want because God is silent. He doesn't speak anymore. Secondly, this ought to be the priority of everybody. Since I said because he wants you to know him, and you ought to get to know him and want to get to know him, or to gain that divine knowledge of what his will is, you ought to be receptive and constantly listening for his voice through the spoken word, the preached word, through your individual prayers in an unselfish way. I mean, your prayers have to be like this. Lord, it don't matter no more what I want. What do you want for me? You pray like that, you hear from him. You start praying like that. It don't matter how much money I got coming in. What do you want me to do with it going out? Amen. You hear from him. He's going to let you know exactly what to do. Lord, how come you're not giving me a lot? You're going to hear silence. He wants you to be the good governor of what he's given you. That's it. See, God's speaking all the time. But the thing is, we don't like what we hear from him. You know, we don't want to hear that. We say, well, no, Lord, all I want to receive is good at your hand. Well, you better study the Bibles. Because listen, that old prophet Job said, shall I receive good from the Lord and not evil? Job asked his accusers, he said, what shall I receive? Just good? He says, no, I receive evil too from God. I'm his, he made me. No, Job was listening. He was listening. And God was speaking when he said, where were you, man, when I set the east and the west in nothingness? Job just said, oh, wretched man that I am, let me shut my mouth and hide from him. I'm telling you, God is communicating today. We are to let the priority of knowing him be the priority. And as you know him, he'll reveal himself to you. He's not going to tell you things you want to hear all the time. He doesn't tell me things I want to hear all the time. I'm going to tell you in my flesh. I'm looking for financial security. You know what God is telling me? I am your security. You are insecure with finances. Oh, Lord, I got to listen. Wait a minute. My whole life has been financial security. God says, I am your security. He says, if I tell you to do something, don't you worry about what you don't see. You're not supposed to see it. That ain't faith. That's sight. Amen. God is talking today, but we better listen. Listen. Communication is the link in which he talks to us. And as he talks to us and communicates to us through that heavenly, divine, precious, Holy Spirit, we are obligated to talk back to him through obedience. But you know how most of us talk back to him when he speaks? I said that God is speaking today. Most of us talk back, but God, what about this? What about this, Lord? What about this? And the Lord is saying, I've told you right there what it's going to be. But Lord, I don't see this. If you saw it, it wouldn't be God. See? And if you keep on looking at it, the devil's going to try to get that thing to materialize. And he's going to coat that thing with evil. And the next thing you know, you ain't got time for the Lord. You too slow. You answering the wrong way. And I see a door opening up over here. You better ask, is God opening up that door? You better ask it. You better say, Lord, are you opening up this door? Now, if you saved it all, he'll let you know whether he's opened that door. The no will sound and you're, no, I'm not opening it. You are. I know how to get it done. How are you going to get it done? I'm going to take out another loan. Will you be able to pay everybody that you owe if you take out the other loan? I believe the Lord will make a way. Wait, hold it. He's not raining nothing extra down. Can you pay it all back if you take out the extra loan? Be rational. Well, the Lord told me to take care of my family. The problem is, can you pay it back? No, that's not the Lord opening that door. Because when the Lord opens doors, you can pay it back. See what I mean? But you can open that door for yourself and then lie on him and say, he told me to do it. Well, if he told you to do it, for God's sake, what in the world are you in debt up to here and then asking him to get you out? He'd never get you in, and then for you to beg him to get you out, you better listen to God. You better ask those kind of questions, I'm telling you. You've got to talk back to him. As I close, God is speaking today. We must allow him to speak to us through his blessed word, through his prophets, through his brothers and sisters, maybe that's been through a little bit more. See, I'm looking at Sister Glover there. This lady's been through something. That means wisdom should be a part of her Christian life. I've been through it, sweetheart. Listen to me. God may be speaking to you through her. See what I mean? No, I don't do it that way, Sister Glover. You old fashioned. This is 1987. I'm telling you, God says, I don't change. I still operate in the same way. I'm not going to operate in her life that way and then change for you because it's 1987. You know, the Lord doesn't have a new blueprint on how to bless. That blueprint is still there. I am the Lord and I change not. I'll bless you. I'll bless who I want to bless. I'll withhold from who I want to withhold. And when he withholds from you, he's speaking to you and he's trying to get you to hold on to him. And it looks like I'm going to tell you, my wife and I, for years, we used to laugh on the kitchen table. And I said, Lucy, get this. And it seems like it's going to be that way now. We are not going to ever have anything. Big bank accounts and all that. I said, Lucy, we'll never have it. And Lucy just laughed and said, hey, as long as he keeps some bread and butter on the table, what we going to do? And I get back and crazy and say, we going to just praise him. Amen. And then if you ain't got no bread and butter, come on over and eat ours with us. Amen. We can praise him together. That's what it's all about. See, God is speaking and God is saying, all right, now come now, bless it. That's what I want. Not that you got to have steak and have a guarantee the steak is coming in. With bread and butter, the Bible says, therewith be content. And some of us saying, God ain't speaking, he's speaking. Show a little contentment with a little bread and butter, and then you find yourself worthy of prime rib. Amen. Amen. Hey, sit down, Brother Milton, and say, Sister Jenny, this is it, baby. And Jenny, you can't fight back. You got to say, Charles, let's pray. Let's pray. And the Lord will multiply that thing. And you eat and say, baby, wasn't that good? But that was the best bread and butter I ever had. Somebody going to be knocking on your door. And said, I don't know. I just passed by and thought about you. I had 4 or 5 steaks. Didn't know what to do with them. Then I brought the potatoes, brought a potato pie, and some buttermilk, some coffee, a little butter and everything else. Jenny said, Lord, we didn't even ask for it. And God says, I'm talking to you. I'm speaking. See, you got to give him room to do that. Give him room to do that. So as we continue our theme of listening to God, listen with the spiritual insight and not with that human insight, well, I've got to do it my way. I see the way they're getting ahead. How come they have something and I don't? Why is it different in our lives? Aren't we all God's children and supposed to get the bountiful gifts? No, I say, listen to God. He's speaking today. But what's unique about him is he speaks to each one of us in this room in different ways, different areas, with different amounts. He takes at different times. He gives at different times. He blesses. I remember when Sister Pinkard needed a car. Praise God, now they got two. Hey, man, you see what I'm talking about? I remember because I used to pick up on Central Avenue. That's right. I remember God speaking, but what you have to do is slow down and listen to him. Let's do that in our Christian experience. Let's do that this week. I'm telling you, if you're anything like me, you're struggling with new situations every week. And don't you ever get up from prayer and say, Lord, you don't love me. You haven't answered anything. Yes, he has. If I were you, I'd check out how you're praying. In your prayers, you got to say, Lord, have thine own way. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after your will. See, that's a prayer. While I am here yielded and still. You see that? Yielded. I yield to you. I'm still. I'm not anxious. Talk to me, Lord. And in a calm voice, he just may give you blessed assurance that Jesus is yours. Oh, what a foretaste of mercy divine. Then you get up off your knees and say, thank you, Lord. Did he answer? Yeah, he answered. He gave you blessed assurance. He was saying, I'm yours, you're mine, I've got the situation under control, leave it alone. And then you get out there and do all you can to do what you know is right. And let him answer. Let's pray.
Now, you know, when you listen to that and you give that message to young people today, they will look at you and laugh at you. They would look at you and laugh you to scorn. Some secular humanists listen to this webcast today on July 7th, 2013. They're going to laugh at you. That's Christian teaching. That is what the Bible teaches us about listening to God. And, you know, some of these young whippersnappers today, people that, you know, I was talking with a young man last night, and he was asking me to listen to some of the lyrics of the music. And this young man was braggadociously saying how he was going to control the destiny of his life and do this and do that. And I asked the young man one question. And I said, why do you pattern your life after someone else's wishes and ambitions and have absolutely nothing going for you in order to make that come to pass? And the young man looked at me and said, oh, that's some real talk, something like that. That's what he said. He said, that's real. And then he said, that's why I'm spending a lot of time with you, man, because, and then I told him, I said, it's all right for you to listen to the music. When I was a young man, I listened to music. I listened to music back in the day. The music was saying something completely different than what the music is speaking to you. But I just said, I'd like to know, how can you do that? And it's an easy question for me. How can you allow someone else's, maybe even misguided ambition to be the ambition for you? Then the young man wasn't finished. He said, may I see your iPad? Took me to the iPad. I brought it out, opened it up, and he went and showed me a picture of him when he first got into college playing football. Oh my God, you guys should have seen this picture of this young lad. And he said, see, I got to gain that weight back. I got to do it. I said, that, you're right, that's discipline. That's discipline. And you know what I saw in him? And I'm never wrong when I see it. You know what I saw in him? I saw greatness. That boy would be like these kids you see on the gridiron playing ball, but he did something, not listening to wisdom, not listening to God in any way. I think that listening to God, when you when you ask a younger person to hold back and to wait on God and not to go forward, they're not going to listen to that Christian message that I preached so many years ago. They aren't going to listen to it. So how do you reach them? So, because they think, oh, that's you, that's an old white-haired man, old man lived out his life. Well, that's the way you guys did it back in your day, but we don't do it that way, man. You know, we make our own world happen. You know, I wish that I could believe that, but I can't believe that because there's so many people out there that have been, man, do you know the people that just come to this part of the country in order to get rich, to become a star, to become a singer or some kind of athlete or, you know, well, you know what the buzz is this weekend. Dwight Howard quitting the Lakers and everybody says, well, doesn't he know that it was a privilege to play? These people, these young men don't care about privilege, class. They're looking for as much money as they can get. We live in a money-hungry, greedy society. This attitude, this disposition has, I don't see how you're going to keep it from coming in your children. I've always been a guy that's never cared that much about money. I had a young man tell me, this is what he told me. I can, and this young man basically doesn't have anything going for him. And he told me, he said, do you think, this is how arrogant they are. He says, do you think that looking at what you have and living the way that you're living is a way that I want to live? Wait a minute, listen to this. And he says, this is nothing. He says, I'm thinking, this boy was thinking on grandioso scales. Thinking about, how can I put it? The complete adamantly opposed to my Christian view of humility than I have ever heard. He's talking about mansions and Ferraris. You know, same thing that when T was with me, he was speaking about. All of that. The other young man that was with me, Mario, was kind of like myself. Money didn't drive him. He knew that he needed money to get what he needed in life. But he enjoys looking at life in the real, wherever it takes him. But some people are just, you know, thinking that money, that's why the Bible says that the love of money leads you to all kinds of evil. I don't view money that way. I view money as necessary for exchange. But, I mean, I have it, but leave it there. But these young people don't think that way. It's a completely different outlook on life. And how do we reach that generation to get them to listen to God? Because if you don't listen to God the way that I just said it, and I was thinking about that because the young man said that he was going to go to church with his mom this morning. And his mom won't even allow him to stay in the same house that she's in. It is totally inconceivable to me. There is a standard of, how can I put it? There is a standard from which people say that they are Christian, but then when you see that person living it, it's completely different. I am really at a loss. I really am and I was thinking about it today because I have a lot of time, and I was thinking about going, and I think I will because I cleaned up. All I have to do is put on a little casual clothes and to go visit another church in Los Angeles today. I think I will. I feel like it. I just feel like going to see what these people are being taught. See if someone is just giving the simple word of God like that. 30-minute Sunday night lecture on listening to God. Do you think people preach like that anymore? Do you think people believe like that anymore? The illustrations in this webcast were true illustrations. I knew those people. I saw them struggling years ago. I watched God bring them a mighty long way. As a matter of fact, let me give you an example. I, There was a little boy that lived on the Inglewood side. I live right on the border of Inglewood in L.A., but I live on the L.A. side. And a little boy used to ride his skateboard, and he would ride his skateboard up and down the street, little skinny kid. I remember Lucy liked him because he was a little kid, always wanted to hang out with the other guys on the street. Well, yesterday, I had some company over, and he drove up, parked his car in front of the house. I happened to be in front of the house, and I said, "Well, look at this." And he came over and shook my hand and said, "You're still here?" Yeah, I said, "Yeah, I'll be here, son." And I said, "How have you been doing?" He said, "Well, how about this? I have a master's degree from UCLA in, I think, some kind of engineering." He says, "I'm married and have two kids, and I'm getting ready to start my own business, and I'm doing well." And it just was wonderful to shake his hand and to see that boy doing as good as he is doing. And I believe that every young man, and he's a young black kid, really made my day. So I'm going to continue. I'm going to continue to not poke holes in the dark. I'm going to continue to invest my time, my wisdom, and things like that into the minds of these young men. Because a lot of them are very talented, but just haven't had the opportunity to do it. Man, you see, you know, it comes down to, you know, a lad buying money. I mean, buying food with the money that he has and needing somewhere to store the food so he can eat it. And I told him, go to the gym, work out, build up your muscle fiber, do what you have to do, continuously go to school and go to work and do that. But discipline yourself and listen to God and stop listening to the forces that's out there to destroy. This young lad that I've been speaking to is coming to, what do you call those, a pivotal point in his life, and really needs some guidance and some prayer and a true, sincere Christian to make that work. And I've been talking with another lady who has a very important decision to make in her life, and she was telling me about that, and I had to commend her. I had to apologize and say, you know what? I had you wrong. You're thinking it through, but don't make a mistake and don't lie. I tell people, don't lie to other people. Be fluid, transparent, and tell people the truth. So my counsel now is just to tell people the right thing to do. I pray that they have the courage to do that. And I hope that you gain something from listening to this piece. Listening to God. Thank you for coming to my website, and Lord willing, you know the drill. Stay in the Word.